Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the global equity rally hits a roadblock after China warns of asset bubbles.
The U.S. vaccine effort gathers steam with 3 consecutive days of 2 million or more shots.
President Biden's pick to head the SEC faces questioning on Capitol Hill.
And Jamie Dimon weighs in on the future of banking.
Calls continue for New York Governor Cuomo to resign after more accusations of unwanted advances. Plus, teaching diversity and inclusion is law for New Jersey schools. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. James Harden led the Nets to an overtime win at San Antonio. The Knicks play there tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moskow, and U.S. futures are coming off yesterday's highs. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 15 points, Dow futures down 69, and NASDAQ futures down 57. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.44%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $60.62 a barrel. COMEX gold up about 0.2% or $2.80 at $17.25.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.2024 against the dollar. The yen is at 106.89. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in Asia, where stocks fell after China's top banking regulator said he is worried about risks from bubbles in financial markets. He also points to China's property sector as a major concern. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. China's CSI 300 fell more than 2% to a two-month low before paring some of the losses to finish the session down 1.3% at 5,349 points. Chinese government bonds gained from a shift towards haven assets, sending yields on benchmark 10-year notes to a nearly three-week low. Hong Kong stocks also get caught in the downwind sentiment, negatively affected there by concerns about further hikes to the city's stamp duty on stock trades. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. And we are seeing U.S. futures fall this morning following that news out of China. This as the S&P 500 comes off its best day since June. It rose 2.4%, while the NASDAQ surged 3%. Julia Coronado is president of Macro Policy Perspectives.
I think if we look broadly at asset prices right here, there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with longer-term interest rates where they are. Financial conditions broadly are still very easy.
And we'll likely hear more on those financial conditions later this week in remarks from Jay Powell. The Fed chair is set to speak at a Wall Street Journal event this Thursday.
And Powell could also weigh in on stimulus efforts as President Biden's relief package makes its way through the Senate. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wants to bring the bill up for debate tomorrow, but Democrats are still wrangling over the details, like who should get $1,400 checks and whether enhanced unemployment benefits should be $300 or $400 a week. Still, Republican Congressman John Katko of New York tells us the bill will likely pass.
It's not going to look like it did, but when it came out of the House, and particularly with the economy crushing $15 minimum wage, which would lead to 1.4 million job losses, that's not a stimulus. So with that being taken out of the equation, I know that there's some horse trading going on in the Senate right now, and I look forward to see what the final product is, and I'm going to keep an open mind on it.
Representative Katko spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Tune into the show today at 5 p.m. Wall Street time when Kevin speaks with Senator Elizabeth Warren on stimulus as well as regulation and her proposed wealth tax on households worth more than $50 million.
Turning to the pandemic now, the vaccination campaign has regained momentum, lost to severe weather last month. We've had 3 consecutive days of 2 million shots or more since Friday, and authorities expect that trend to continue as Johnson & Johnson's vaccine is added to the mix. We caught up with J&J Chairman and CEO Alex Gorsky.
We've got a safe, we've got an effective single-shot vaccine that can be refrigerated using very standard procedures. And that's going to be available right here in the United States to the tune of 100 million doses by June of this year.
Gorski spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. You can catch the show weekdays at noon Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
As vaccines pick up, employers are welcoming staff back to the office. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon says he'd like employees to get the shot, but he's unlikely to make it mandatory. In an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, Dimon said the work landscape has changed forever, but still more people will come back to work.
I think there'll be a large portion who permanently work in the office. Think of our branches, cash management, probably most of the trading floors, et cetera. And there'll be some hybrids where you spend 2 days, 2 weeks at home and 2 weeks in the office, or 3 weeks at home, a week in the office, or 3 days and 2 days and 2 days, 3 days. But so I think it will reduce the need for commercial real estate. But there are huge weaknesses to the Zoom world.
And Dimon says working from home for an extended time could bring long-term economic and social damage. Stay tuned for more of our exclusive interview with the J.P. Morgan CEO coming up 10 minutes from now.
The emergence of that Zoom world has seen business for Zoom boom during the pandemic. Shares are up more than 8.5% after the company reported earnings that topped estimates and issued a bullish outlook. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Christner.
Zoom is projecting annual revenue above estimates. Sales growth is forecast at 43%. Impressive, yes, but far below the 326% increase for the fiscal year ended January. Shares in Zoom jumped nearly fivefold last year as it became one of the biggest beneficiaries of the work and learn from home paradigm. The challenge now is producing an outlook as things move toward normalcy. I'm Doug Christner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. On Capitol Hill today, President Biden's pick to head the SEC appears for a confirmation hearing in the Senate. We get the latest on the proceedings from Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Wall Street is set to learn just how tough President Biden's watchdogs will be. Two of his top regulator picks will face questions on a wide range of financial issues today, including GameStop-related market volatility, diversity, and student lending. Biden nominated Gary Gensler as Securities and Exchange Commission head and Rohit Chopra as leader of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Lawmakers and financial executives say they're likely to win confirmation. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And S&P futures are down 13 points. Dow futures down 69. NASDAQ futures down 43. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. The yield 1.44%. And straight ahead, we have your local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo faces more calls to resign from fellow Democrats after a third woman is accusing him of inappropriate behavior. The New York Times reports a woman says Cuomo asked to kiss her and touched her lower back moments after meeting her at a 2019 wedding. The other day, Cuomo said he was truly sorry if some of what he has said has been misinterpreted as an unwanted flirtation. However, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio questioned Cuomo's sincerity.
Clearly was letting himself off the hook for something that, for the women involved, sounded pretty terrifying. And no, we need a full investigation.
During his news briefing, de Blasio also says the city is approaching 2 million total doses of COVID-19 vaccine administered. Federal health officials say about 735 cases of a coronavirus variant that emerged in New York City in November have now been identified in the U.S., including 585 in the last 2 weeks. It's believed the mutation has traveled extensively through the metro New York region, and individual cases have also been found in 14 other states. California Governor Gavin Newsom and legislative leaders say they have reached a deal that will push schools to reopen by April. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The governor says in the form of grants.
This is a $6.6 billion commitment. $2 billion specifically for grants to help with in-person instruction. Those are grants that can provide more PPE, though we have set aside 3 months of free PPE.
And he says a chance to re-envision education. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vice President Kamala Harris says that the U.S. has the imperative to strengthen infrastructure in our cities and create good union jobs as the Biden administration readies a sweeping stimulus package to follow its $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief proposal.
Think of small businesses. Cities are incubators for startups and hubs for mom-and-pop shops. These businesses create jobs and foster community.
Harris spoke during Bloomberg's City Lab Global Cities Summit. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has signed into law a measure that school districts must incorporate instruction on diversity and inclusion. The legislation goes into effect immediately. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time to bring in John Stashar for the Bloomberg Sports Update. John.
Thanks, Nathan. The feeling about the Nets was that they'd be much improved because of an MVP making his Nets debut, and the Nets are winning. They've taken 9 of the last 10, but it has not been due to Kevin Durant. He's only played once during the hot streak. It's been another new Net, former MVP. James Harden's been terrific. Last night in San Antonio, Harden scored 30 points, had 14 rebounds, 15 assists. The Nets won in overtime, 124-113. They had lost 17 in a row in San Antonio. The Knicks, who've won 7 of the last 9, visit the Spurs tonight. Rutgers expected to make the NCAAs, but a bad loss for the Scarlet Knights, 72-51 at Nebraska, who was 2-14 in the Big Ten. The NIT, born in 1938, for the first nearly 40 years of the tournament, every game was played at the Garden. The semis and finals have always been in New York. The NIT, which wasn't played last year, will return, but all the games will be played in the Dallas area. There'll be 16 teams, not 32. The Mets shut out by the Marlins 2-0. The exhibition opener comes after a busy offseason. New owner, some new players. Mets boss, Sandy Alderson.
There's definitely a different perception about the 2021 Mets and, you know, what has transpired over the last 3 months in terms of player acquisition and roster turnover. So I think, you know, based on what I read, There's some buzz out there.
Yankees beat the Tigers 5-4. Long home run for Gary Sanchez. An encouraging sign. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John. Thank you. Right now, S&P futures are lower by 14 points. Dow futures down 78. NASDAQ futures on the decline by 49 points. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. Yield 1.44%. Yield on the 2-year note, 0.12%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Anshin Accountants and Advisors, awarded the best accounting firm for startups and emerging funds by Hedgeweek. Find out why at Anshin.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm offering industry expertise and innovative solutions for your business. Experience the Withum way. Innovative, adaptive, effective, trusted. Visit Withum.com for more. Futures are pulling back after the index capped the best days since June. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 74, NASDAQ futures down 54. The DAX in Germany is up 0.33%, 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.44%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen calls increase for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign after a third woman has accused him of unwanted advances. The New York Times reports the woman says Cuomo asked to kiss her and touched her lower back moments after meeting her at a 2019 wedding. Millions of families may not be able to afford rent or mortgage payments in the months ahead. That's the warning in a new report from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It comes as Democrats were forced to abandon the $15 an hour minimum wage hike. It will be stripped from the Senate's version of the COVID-19 relief bill. The Senate will present their own version of the House-passed aid package as soon as tomorrow. In the NBA, the Nets won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. The largest U.S. bank says it's unlikely to require vaccines for employees to return to work. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon sat down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg's Ed Hammond. They talked about the carrots and sticks approach to vaccinations. Let's listen to some of that conversation now.
On COVID, we are obviously doing this interview in person, which is fantastic. We're doing it in your offices here in New York, but still largely empty, as are my offices, as probably are a lot of people's offices. How important is it to a business like JP Morgan to actually have people physically coming back to work?
It's very important. I mean, I do think there'll be part of the world where a certain amount of people work from home permanently, certain sales, certain ops, you can track the productivity, et cetera. I think there'll be a large portion who permanently work in the office. Think of our branches, cash management, probably most of the trading floors, et cetera. And there'll be some hybrids, where you spend 2 days, 2 weeks at home and 2 weeks in the office, or 3 weeks at home, a week in the office, or 3 days and 2 days and 2 days, 3 days. But so I think it will reduce the need for commercial real estate. But there are huge weaknesses to the Zoom world. I mean, most of us learned by an apprenticeship system, by, you know, seeing mistakes, going to trips, how do you handle a client, how do you handle a problem. So it's hard to inculcate culture and character and all those things when you have the Zoom world. Spontaneous combustion, it goes away. Hard to manage. You know, it's hard to be very critical. You got 15 people on the screen. So but before it was like a deep dive question. Now it looks a little bit rude. And I took a trip to California. I met 100 people all outside, all wonderful, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's amazing how much you learn about your own business, your own bankers, your own clients, your own products. And, you know, I met with Snowflake and Marketa. What you learn about technology and systems, you're not going to do that in the Zoom world. And, you know, so bankers, you know, relationships. I think it's very hard to build and develop and deepen a relationship on the Zoom world. So you still, you know, there'll be more Zooming. People like me will travel just as much as I did in the past.
As and when the vaccine does become available for your workforce, will you make it mandatory for people to take it if they do want to return?
It's hard to make it mandatory. And there are laws about that. But I think what we'd like to do is kind of have carrots and sticks. We want people to take it. I think it's a far better thing. You certainly can't make it mandatory before it's fully accessible. So that question can't even be answered until June. But I do think you may see some companies do it. I mean, I can see an airline doing it or a hotel company doing it. I can see some people saying if the folks in our branches aren't vaccinated, they're not going in. So there will be pressure. And I would say carrots and sticks, not mandatory.
Another topic very of the now is SPACs. I'm interested why, when I look at the league table, does JP Morgan not seem to be doing especially well in the SPAC game?
Yeah, we were a day late and a dollar short. Probably a little skeptical going in.
Obviously. Are you still skeptical?
I think you have to be cautious, okay? So I think if it's a good sponsor, if it's a fair sponsor deal, if it's got good pipe investors, if you really do due diligence in the acquisition, you know, these things can make sense. But clearly there's a lot of hype. There are a lot of sponsors that you shouldn't be doing business with, and so some of them will not end well. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do them, and it doesn't mean there aren't some good ones. But, you know, to us, we want to hold to J.P. Morgan standards the people we actually do business with.
There's a lot going on in New York right now. There has been an exodus in the financial services industry, a lot of very smart people, big companies moving elsewhere. What keeps a business like J.P. Morgan in New York?
Yeah. So, again, I think New York could have a little bit of a difficult time, too. Because, you know, already real estate needs will come down. Most of us are going to go to more open seating because you don't need 100 seats for 100 employees. You're going to need like 60. And then, of course, if you have higher individual taxes and higher corporate taxes, that does a pretty good job driving people out, as does crime, inhospitable business environment. So, you know, what the city needs to do is make itself what it has been for, just like London, a wonderful, absolute place to work and or visit. So that's the arts, it's the sciences, it's the parks, it's the safety, it's the soundness, it's the tax system, it's the, and for, you know, for London, it's the rule of law, it's the, all the things that surround the financial system there, it's the lawyers and the accountants and the tech people, and they're all kind of important. So we need to do that here. You're going to have some exits anyway, because, you know, some of the bad stuff has been happening too much, and you've seen a bunch of people already kind of vote with their feet and leave the city. So, but New York can fight back. It's just got to have a real strategy.
And that's J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon speaking exclusively to Bloomberg's Ed Hammond. You can catch the full conversation online at Bloomberg.com. We want to have a fuller conversation on the pandemic now with three vaccines shipping out across the country and new concerns about some of the latest coronavirus variants. For more, we're joined live this morning by Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Doctor, it's good to have you with us this morning and taking a look at some of the latest numbers, it appears that we're starting to see a bit of an uptick in cases after several days of case counts declining. Are you concerned that we might be seeing a plateau here? What could be causing it?
Well, I do think it's good to be here in a number of ways. I think we're more equipped to deal with this. But yes, we've seen a plateau after the big spike and then drop following the holidays. I think it could be the continued gap in practices people have, where we know that masking, distancing, avoiding large gatherings really do help reduce the spread. And it's hard for people to do this. It's hard for people to sustain this. I think it is a sign that we don't have full immunity, and we need to keep on working towards that with vaccination. I'm concerned that we could see another rise again, either due to the variants or due to more lax. Get that out. We could really see a huge surge in vaccination because the delivery is so much simpler. It can be distributed in so many different outlets and in large vaccination sites. So I'm hopeful that we're going to see a big increase in vaccinations per day in a month or so.
Thank you, as always. Dr. Stuart Ray is Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Karen Moscow, along with Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Yesterday's stock rally, which saw U.S. equities post their biggest gain since June, is on hold this morning. News out of Asia impacting equities. We get more from Bloomberg's Enda Curran in Hong Kong.
China's top banking regulator, Guo Xiaoqing, said he's very worried about risks from emerging bubbles in global financial markets, and he warned about the nation's own property sector. Now, that's sparking fresh concerns about policy tightening in China, and it sent stocks across Asia lower. Bubbles in U.S. and European stock markets could burst because their rallies are heading in the opposite direction of their underlying economies, and they could face corrections sooner or later.
Overnight, we saw China's CSI 300 and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong both fall 1.2%, and right now S&P futures are lower by 10 points.
On the pandemic, the vaccination effort continues to gather steam. The U.S. has posted three consecutive days of 2 million shots or more since Friday. More supplies coming online with Johnson & Johnson's vaccine winning approval. We caught up with J&J CEO Alex Gorsky.
We will have done 100 million doses by the end of June, and near a billion by the end of 2021, en route to a path of almost 2 billion by 2022.
Gorsky spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg Balance of Power. So far, the U.S. has administered nearly 77 million shots. Get the latest from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
On Capitol Hill today, President Biden's pick to head the SEC faces questions from lawmakers. And we get the latest from Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Wall Street will learn just how tough Biden's watchdogs will be. Two key nominees in the administration will face questions at a hearing today. Gary Gensler as Securities and Exchange Commission head and Rohit Chopra as leader of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Cowen Investment Bank says these two officials are key to setting financial policy for Team Biden. Lawmakers and financial executives say they're likely to win confirmation. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. Turning to earnings now, shares of Zoom are up more than 8.5% in early trading. The video conferencing company projected revenue topping estimates. Over the past year, shares of Zoom have surged more than 260%.
And shares of Target also gaining in early trading. We're watching those earnings cross the Bloomberg right now. Fourth quarter comp sales beating analyst estimate, and adjusted profit in the quarter also beat. Futures this morning lower. S&P futures down 13 points. Dow futures down 67. NASDAQ futures down 48. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. Yield 1.44%. Yield on the two-year 0.12%. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
And it's 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. Calls for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign are intensifying now that a third woman has accused him of offensive behavior. Anna Rutsch told the New York Times that Cuomo touched her back and face
and asked if he could kiss her moments after they met at a wedding in 2019. The other day, the governor denied wrongdoing and said his actions were misinterpreted. Republican Representative John Katko of New York agrees with the state's attorney general's investigation into the matter.
I have no reason to doubt those women. And if those allegations are true, he should be gone. But we need to let the investigation go. I hope it's a full and fair investigation. I hope it's not politically motivated to protect him. And we need answers soon.
Representative Katko spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg's Sound On. Tune in to the show today at 5 p.m. Wall Street time when he speaks with Senator Elizabeth Warren on stimulus regulation and a proposed wealth tax on households worth more than $50 million. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city is approaching 2 million total doses of COVID-19 vaccine administered.
Clearly, there's plenty of people who want to get vaccinated. We have the staffing. We have everything we need except the supply. Now, it has been getting better, and it will get better in the coming weeks. But I'm not going to be satisfied until we're vaccinating at least 500,000 New Yorkers a week.
Meanwhile, on Friday, the city will loosen COVID restrictions for movie theaters, but operators say reopening at 25% capacity or 50 people is not enough to survive. New Jersey school districts must incorporate instruction on diversity and inclusion under a bill signed yesterday by Governor Phil Murphy. The legislation goes into effect immediately. President Biden had his first virtual sit-down meeting with Mexican President Obrador. Both men spoke through translators on a video chat with President Biden, telling his Mexican counterpart the two countries have a complex history.
Haven't always been perfect neighbors with one another. But we have seen over and over again the power and the purpose when we cooperate.
The Senate voted last night to confirm Miguel Cardona as Secretary of Education. Cardona had been serving as Connecticut's Commissioner of Education since 2019. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. More than 120 countries. I'm Mike LaBarre, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:36 on Wall Street. Here's John Stanshire with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets have the big three, although lately it's been down to two with the Kevin Durant leg injury in Saturday's loss in Dallas. It was down to one as Kyrie Irving didn't play. In San Antonio last night, Irving returned, scored 27. James Harden, the other star, had 30, had a triple-double. The Nets blew a late 10-point lead in regulation, but they beat the Spurs in overtime, 124-113, and they've now won 9 of the last 10 with Durant only playing once during that stretch. Harden has been the key. Tomorrow, he makes his return to Houston. College hoops, Syracuse, 2-point win over North Carolina. Bad loss for Rutgers, 72-51 at Nebraska. The NIT will return this year, but with 16 teams, not 32. And all the games will be played in the Dallas area. Nothing in New York, which has hosted the NIT Final Four since 1938. Mets boss Sandy Alderson met the media on a number of subjects, including the Mets hiring and then firing general manager Jared Porter after revelations of inappropriate conduct with a female reporter. And then their former manager, Mickey Callaway, was accused of the same thing.
Mickey was a hot commodity. You know, there were a number of teams that were anxious to talk to him and possibly sign him to a contract. We felt very fortunate at the time to get him based on his reputation in the game. Now, was that short-sighted on our part? Was it too narrow a focus? I think the answer is probably yes.
Alderson said the vetting process will be better going forward. The Mets exhibition opener, they were shut out by the Marlins 2-0. Yankees beat the Tigers 5-4, an encouraging sign, a long home run for Gary Sanchez. John Stanshire with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, seen a lot of movement on earnings this morning.
Absolutely, and you can actually go back to late yesterday in the case of Zoom Video. The video conferencing company up 8.5%. Zoom's forecast for this quarter and year were well above analyst average estimates in a Bloomberg survey. Zoom's fourth quarter earnings and sales also beat projections. And we just got results a few moments ago out of Target. The shares are up 1.5%. The discount retailer's fiscal fourth quarter earnings and revenue beat estimates. Now, sales at stores open more than a year jumped 20.5%, which also surpassed projections.
And those aren't the only earnings we're looking at this morning, right?
Absolutely not, because before the opening bell, we're due to get results from the auto parts retailer AutoZone and the department store owner Kohl's. Another department store chain, Nordstrom, due to report after the close, along with off-price retailer Ross Stores, teen retailer Urban Outfitters, and business computing company Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. Square is up 3.5%. The online payment company opened a bank called Square Financial Services that will focus on business loans and deposits. Square said the bank will become the primary provider of financing for U.S. merchants using its services. You did get some disappointments on the earnings front, though. Mercado Libre down 2.5%. The online marketplace for Latin America had a wider fourth quarter loss than analysts expected. NIO, the Chinese electric car maker, down 5%. That company posting a fourth quarter loss that was more than twice the average projection. Novavax down 6%. The developer of a COVID-19 vaccine had a wider loss than analysts expected, even though revenue beat estimates. C3.ai down 7%. The artificial intelligence company's first quarterly results showed a wider loss than analysts predicted. And Lemonade down 7%. The online insurer forecast a wider loss for this year than analysts were looking for. You've got Nielsen up 4.5%. The consumer data provider agreed to sell a video advertising unit to the streaming video company Roku. Roku's share is kind of fluctuating at this point, up 0.3%. Terms of the deal weren't disclosed. And we've got to note Rocket, because it's behaving like a rocket when you look at the shares. It's up 10.5% in early trading, and this is the third day of gains for the owner of Rocket Mortgage and Quicken Loans. The rally was triggered by better-than-expected fourth-quarter results and a special dividend. Rocket was up 10% on Friday and another 11% yesterday.
Yeah, that fits the bill. All right, Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you for all that. Much appreciated. Taking a look at stocks as a whole this morning ahead of the open. Bit of pullback. S&P futures down 11 points. Dow futures down 51. NASDAQ futures lower by 42 points. The 10-year Treasury's down 7/32. Yield 1.44% on the 10-year note. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are moving lower. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are posting modest losses right now. Dow futures down 49 points. S&P's drop 11. NASDAQ futures declined by 47. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.44%. Gold is up 5. And Shanghai fell 1.2% overnight. Well, European markets are in the green this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 2 o'clock, Fed's Daily speaks to the Economic Club of New York. After the bell last night, Zoom Video reported shares are up 9% pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, Target beat estimates. In other news, Roku files itself to $1 billion in stock. And wrapping things up, ADT was cut to underweight at Barclays. Dow Inc. raised overweight at Wells Fargo. And Zoom Video raised overweight over at Piper. Live from the First Republic News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news of your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Senate Democrats are looking to pass President Biden's $1.9 trillion relief bill before enhanced unemployment benefits expire in 2 weeks. No Republicans have come out in support of the package, which they claim focuses too much on non-COVID issues and partisan spending. The House of Representatives passed its version of the bill last week. President Biden's administration will impose sanctions on Russia over the reported poisoning and imprisonment of Vladimir Putin's chief domestic opponent, Alexei Navalny. The European Union is set to announce its own penalties today against four Russian officials. In the NBA, the Nets won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Wall Street won't intimidate Walmart this time. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion.
For 2 years before the 2008 financial crisis, Walmart was embroiled in controversy over a plan to open its own bank, eventually withdrawing amid pressure from regulators and Wall Street. Some 14 years later, the retail giant is gearing up for an even more serious fight. Walmart announced in January that it formed a partnership with Ribbit Capital to create a new financial technology startup. Now we know who some of its leaders will be: Omer Ismail, the head of Goldman Sachs' consumer bank, and David Stark, one of his top lieutenants. This is an audacious poaching effort, and the move to capture such fintech talent signals Walmart is committed to turning into something resembling a bank of Walmart. Back in 2007, as Walmart abandoned its bank plans, its financial services president said, "We hope this gets us out of the spotlight." Poaching Ismail and Stark does the exact opposite, an unambiguous shot across the bow to Wall Street that it's ready for another round and willing to take the heat. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the FBI director getting ready to set out the extremist threat after the Capitol riot at a Senate hearing today. The U.S. set to impose sanctions on Russia for its treatment of opposition leader Alexei Navalny. And the Trumps privately got their coronavirus vaccine before they left the White House back in January. Also making news, the COVID relief package providing the first major test for Chuck Schumer as Senate leader. For the latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. So, Emily, Schumer, of course, wants to keep the $1.9 trillion stimulus on the fast track. He's also got to keep his own Democrats in line, right?
Absolutely, Nathan. And the reason that this is sort of very interesting is because it's the first big test to see how Schumer does with a 50-50 Senate that Democrats only very narrowly control. We're already seeing some potential bumpy road. We saw some earlier with moderate Democrat Joe Manchin having concern about that $15 minimum wage. That's no longer going to be a part of the bill. But now we're seeing from the progressive side, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont has said that he wants to make sure that there is a $15 minimum amendment. You're also hearing calls from some progressives for Senate to simply overturn the ruling of the parliamentarian, just go ahead, ignore it, and make sure that $15 minimum wage gets in there.
Now, we're also hearing some talk of late, Emily, about making it a more targeted package. Even some moderate Democrats like Senator Manchin are saying more about that. What's the latest there?
There definitely has been some discussion about getting the package a little bit more targeted as far as benefits go. You know, exactly who is going to receive these $1,400 checks, who's going to receive supplemental unemployment insurance, and how much are they going to receive. So there have definitely been discussions about that one. But remember that as all these negotiations go on, Schumer is trying to move this bill quickly. They want to start debate on it this week, and that's because they have a March 14th deadline. At that point, some of these supplemental unemployment insurance benefits begin to run out, and Democrats have said all along that they do not want that to happen.
All right, let's turn to an important hearing coming up on Capitol Hill later this morning. Probably a lot more talk about the Capitol riot for the head of the FBI, Christopher Wray.
Christopher Wray will be meeting a group of lawmakers who will want to know just about what the FBI's role was or wasn't in the January 6th attacks. We heard from lawmakers yesterday that the questions that they have for Wray is a lot of when did the FBI know, what did they know, and how did they respond to it. Definitely this is part of a larger series of investigations and hearings, all looking into exactly why the January 6th riots unfolded as they did.
And also, we're hearing more this morning from the White House about possible sanctions coming against Russia over the Alexei Navalny case.
Right. This is over opposition leader Alexei Navalny and Russia's treatment toward him. The Biden administration is set to announce today some sanctions against Russia. They're going to match sanctions that we've seen in the EU and UK that are targeted against Russian leaders. Another important thing to keep in mind here, these are going to be the first sanctions ordered by President Biden against Russia. And it's expected to really set his tone for Biden's relationship with Putin.
Our Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you for all this. Much appreciated. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a world-class polytechnic university that makes a real difference in the lives of its graduates and the businesses that employ them. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The U.S. government has asked Google to fork over granular information on how its search engine works and makes money, seeking to prove that the internet giant is a monopoly. The Alphabet unit is being asked to share data on how and where users search, the quantity of different types of ads, revenue from those ads, and what the underlying bids were for them. Google has said its deals don't prevent consumers from switching to other search providers. The company argues its success rests on superior technology. Boeing and Australia's Air Force carried out a test flight for an unmanned fighter-like aircraft designed to team up with crewed planes in combat. Boeing says the autonomous aircraft can be fitted with a variety of payloads and sensors depending on the mission. More flights are planned for later this year. And space launch company Rocket Lab USA has agreed to merge with Vector Acquisition Corporation. The funding will help Rocket Lab develop a launch vehicle that can reach mega constellations, go to deep space, and serve human space missions. The company has so far specialized in delivering small satellites to low Earth orbits. It has launched 97 satellites. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is Tuesday, March 2nd, and currently 6:56 on Wall Street. March is Women's History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is looking back at some of those who have played a vital role in American history. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in women's history in 1903, the Martha Washington Hotel opens in New York City on East 29th Street, making it the first hotel in the area exclusively for women. All the employees were women, with chaperones and a hostess on site at all times. Men, even doctors and priests, were only allowed on the first floor restaurant. The opening of the Martha Washington Hotel was the peak of more than 50 years of poor treatment of women travelers in the United States. Prior to the Civil War and during the 19th century, people looked at female guests who traveled alone with suspicion. So the Martha Washington Hotel marketed itself as a venue catering especially to women traveling or visiting New York alone. That's today in women's history. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. We're coming up to 6:57 on Wall Street, and we continue to watch shares of Target. They are up 0.8% in early trading. Target reported a strong year-end performance, though it declined to give the one thing investors really want, a forecast for the current year. The retailer's fourth quarter comparable sales growth and adjusted earnings per share both beat analysts' expectations. The highlight, as in previous periods, was its digital business, which more than doubled sales in the period ending January 30th, thanks to same-day fulfillment services like curbside pickup and home delivery. And also, AutoZone is out with earnings, its second quarter profit beating analysts' estimates. S&P futures are down about 10 points this morning. Dow futures down 41, NASDAQ futures down 45, and the 10-year Treasury down 8/32nds, yield 1.44%. Bloomberg Surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.